and welcome. I'm Dennis Prout, Certified Financial Planner.
And I'm Shay Pataja, the co-host of
New Retirement Radio,
the podcast.
Investment advisory services offered through Capital Asset Advisory Services, LLC, a registered investment advisor. Securities offered through Genios Wealth Management Incorporated, member FINRA SIPC. Opinions expressed on this program do not necessarily reflect those of Capital Asset Advisory Services. The topics discussed and the opinions given are for informational purposes only and are not intended as financial, tax, accounting, or legal advice, and are not intended to address the specific needs of any listener. Listeners are encouraged to discuss their individual needs with an appropriate professional.
And we happen to have financial professionals by the truckload today. Welcome back to New Retirement Radio with Prout Financial Design, Dennis Prout and Heidi Johnson from Prout Financial Design. Shay Pataja is in her home location. Everybody, by the way, is at their home location today. And a special guest, John Sluice, CPA, is back with us. Welcome aboard, Dennis.
Can you hear us?
Yes, we can hear you, sir.
Excellent. Thank you, Heidi Thompson, for joining us. Heidi is our managing executive, also a representative for Prout Financial Design and through Genios Wealth Management. Shay Pataja is our Chief Experience Officer, CXO. Thank you, Ron, for having us on again. Of course, this is Thursday, April 9th, if you happen to be listening live, which right now you are, of course. John Sluice is joining us today. He is a local CPA with Intrust CPAs. They are almost adjacent to the library, the public library here in Traverse City. And I consider personally John a thought leader in regards to the new tax package. One of these is the CARES Act, which we'll be discussing in depth, both how it impacts both individuals and businesses.
If we get calls for you or John or Heidi or anybody, you can get those. And by the way, people, just so you know, Dennis is, is that your home office or your regular office, Dennis?
This is my regular office. Right. I came in for this just to make sure I have the speed we need for the transmission for the Zoom call.
All right, Shay Pataja, where are you broadcasting from?
I'm in my house.
Your house?
Yeah.
Well, you have some fine wood paneling there.
Oh, thank you.
It's very rustic and comfortable.
Yep, thank you.
But nobody has a bookcase behind him. I thought that was the rule. You had to have a case of books behind you.
Ron,
see? Oh, okay. Shay has like five books in a case. Heidi, where are you broadcasting from?
I am in my kitchen, and I live out at Long Lake, and I'm watching some snow flurries right now outside my window.
Oh, we heard big snowflakes on the west side of Traverse City.
Well, they're here.
And John Sluice looks like, is that a home office or is that your office, your regular work office, John?
This is actually our bedroom. My wife was not thrilled that the radio show was going to come into our bedroom. You do what you got to do nowadays.
I guess so. Just to give our audience, paint a picture there of where everybody is. But business as usual, we can still talk about what's happening and take phone calls today.
Yes. And for those clients who are dropping in, they're dropping in. We've got a basket out front, and we're still seeing significant activity with our clients on the phone as well as Zoom calls as well. So it's still working in terms of the requirements out there, and we're still operating and sure appreciate that. So, John, let's jump right in, if you would. On the new tax package, first of all, just a quick review, please, on how it's impacting individuals and what we're seeing there.
Kind of a quick update here. The biggest one that individuals are feeling is that individual stimulus dollars, the $1,200, the American Recovery Payment, that payment has been indicated. It is the Treasury has started the process of funding those dollars. The first round of individuals should see them come into their bank as early as tomorrow. So they did indicate the Treasury they have pushed out dollars for the biggest bulk. So that would be individuals that had and qualified for the stimulus dollars based on the 2018 or already filed 2019 tax returns when they had your bank account information. So you should start seeing those dollars come in here as early as tomorrow. It will come in waves, so it's not like it's going to be all one day. So if you don't see it tomorrow, don't worry. It will come in over time. So watch over the next week, 2-3 weeks, you should start seeing things come in. Again, as a reminder for everyone, that is technically a 2020 tax credit that you're getting in advance. And so if you don't see it here because of the 2018, you don't qualify, or the 2019, you don't qualify, you can still potentially have it for the 2020. So I've talked to several individuals over this last couple of weeks where they were looking at it and they didn't qualify for 18 or 19 because their income was up. Those are good years. Well, they're looking ahead at 2020, and 2020 is not looking to be maybe the best year for them. Well, maybe they're going to qualify off of that. So keep that in mind, that it's not all for loss if you didn't qualify in the past. So.
And what is that amount again, John, quickly, if you'd review that?
$75,000 per person. So $75,000 if an individual, up to 100, then 150 for a married couple filing jointly. That would be where you start phasing out. The complete phase out is 100,000 per individual, up to for 150,000 for joint, or 200,000, sorry, for joint.
Okay, so that's for qualification to receive the credit via direct deposit. But correct. What is the actual amount that will be being sent to
it's
those
$1,200 per individual and $500 per qualifying dependent. Keep in mind, for qualifying dependent, they have to be under 17. So there is a little bit of a hole here that we've noticed, which are college kids, because college kids are over 18 and under 24 that may be a dependent because they have to be a dependent. The IRS requires them to be a dependent when they're still in school. Those individuals are not seeing the stimulus dollars. And that is a true that got missed. So.
Okay. Then there's also unemployment coverage for self-employed individuals. If you could briefly discuss that too.
Yeah. So that is starting. I would tell you, for the self-employed individuals, the state is still trying to figure that out. As of even yesterday, the state website still wasn't accepting it. They're working as hard as they can to get that out there. So don't worry, you haven't missed it. If you're a self-employed individual, it is coming. We don't know the rules of what will qualify and won't qualify because they're still figuring it out. But what we're hoping is, at minimum, the self-employed individuals will be the $600 stimulus dollars that's coming through. It's technically a federal stimulus that's flowing through the state of Michigan. So a common question we get is, well, how do I get the federal dollars? Well, you go through the state of Michigan to get it. It's paid by the federal government to the state of Michigan, and then the state of Michigan issues it out. So you still apply for the state of Michigan unemployment.
It's being sent to each of the individual states for them to send it out through the unemployment division, correct?
Yeah, correct. Yeah, I said state of Michigan, but it's every state, wherever you would apply to, yeah.
Yes, and that amount is, again, another $600 on top of the regular maximum amount of $362 per week, correct?
Right. Yes, and then that's where you know, for the self-employed, they may not qualify for the 362 because the state has the qualifiers. That's where we don't know. So there's other states that have defined it as being half of what the maximum is. Others have come and say it's going to be the maximum. There's a few that have said it's zero, but that we don't know. So for Michigan, they have not issued that guidance yet. It'll be somewhere between zero and 362. For a standard employee, it goes based on your highest quarter of the last 5 quarters. Then they divide that by the number of weeks, and it's a weekly benefit.
Okay. Then there's also an above the line, it's called charitable contribution deduction for 2020 in the new tax package. What is that about for individuals?
Yeah, so part of the 2018 tax stimulus package took away the ability for a lot of individuals to have charity. You can itemize if you wish, but many individuals did not end up itemizing. They took the standard deduction. So as part of the CARES package, they pulled a little bit back in and gave what's called an above the line item. So even if you take the standard deduction, you can still take a charitable contribution of up to $300. So it's not a large and significant one, but it's there. So just know that most individuals, if you donate at least $300, you will qualify for this above the line item deduction.
Okay. And then further note, there's also for individuals, the RMD holiday for anyone who has to take required minimum distributions in 2020. you do not, under the CARES Act, now have to take an RMD. It's called an RMD. We're referring to it as an RMD holiday. Same thing happened in 2009. You will not have to take required minimum distributions, whether you're a non-spouse beneficiary, typically a child, or someone who's over 70 and a half or 72 under the new law, the Secure Act for 2020. Anyone over those ages does not have to take an RMD for 2020. Okay. And you got a question, Ron?
Yeah, I've got a couple that have come in the text or in one phone call here. Somebody wanted to know about when the $600 kicks in. I assume that's the unemployment provided by the CARES Act. A lot of people are having trouble just filing for unemployment on the Michigan system. But once they do, John, do you have any idea when they start sending out the $600 a week unemployment checks?
Ron, that will be part of the unemployment process. And so the dollars, the state has the dollars. It's just them trying to figure out how they're going to put it through. I've been telling people, when you go to do the unemployment, make sure you put your calming music on and either have a scotch or wine or whatever your choice of drink is that it goes there. It's going to be a process. It is going to be frustrating. The computer, don't take it out on the computer. Throwing it out the window does not help. Just walk through it. Everyone is feeling that. There are periods of time where you go to, you know, at night is easier to do it. You have better bandwidth in it. But that $600 is going to come through your regular weekly check. One question, I don't know the specific answer on this, but I would have to imagine that they're going to go back retroactively to when it would apply. So if you applied for a certain day, so say you qualified for April 6th through April 10th, they would do it during that particular week and when they do fund those. So it'll come via your weekly deposit or biweekly deposit for unemployment is when and how you will get that.
Okay, and then somebody commented that you can go online and apply for a direct deposit debit card that they will load, and you can use it at any ATM. So I assume they mean for the $1,200 stimulus check or something.
No, that is for unemployment. So unemployment, okay. You have the option to either have it go into a bank account or a debit card through the state of Michigan.
So you go online, probably at the UIA website, apply for that debit card if you don't.
Correct.
Okay.
It's through the process when you apply for benefits the first time. Because right. What you technically do when you're applying for benefits is the first thing is to apply, and then every single 2 weeks you'll have to go in and you're going to have to recertify. So the actual application to get determined for benefits is when you go through and determine how you want to get paid.
All right. And we have one phone call. Beth is in Williamsburg. Welcome to This is New Retirement Radio. A little different. We're Zooming it this week. So Dennis Prout is at the offices of Prout Financial Design. Shay Pataja in her home. Heidi Thompson in her home. And John Sluice, our special guest CPA, is in his master bedroom right now. Joining us for the broadcast. Beth is in Williamsburg. Good morning, Beth.
Good morning. Interesting way to do things. I haven't experienced Zoom yet, but... two questions, and one you sort of hit on the last text that you answered regarding when is it going to be retroactive. For instance, I do substitute teaching, and apparently that possibly maybe qualifies me. I've been trying for 2 weeks to get on there and fill out the paperwork. So my filing date hasn't started yet, even though I've been off for a month. Because it hasn't started, because I haven't been able to get through to get it started. So is that retroactive just to when you finally actually get through or to your actual ending work date?
Normally what happens is they want you to apply in the particular week that it happens. Because it's the state of Michigan, I am just assuming on this, and we got to be careful on that, but because it's the state of Michigan, I have a feeling that they're going to go back retroactively and look through that to look at the date you qualified. Historically, you always were able to do that, but you had to go through a special appeals process. I have a feeling that they're going to lift the appeals and just automatically go back to the date that you started for the qualification. So you're not going to be able to go back beyond the qualification point or before the qualification point, but I do think they're going to go back to that point.
Okay. Even though we had no idea that we possibly even would be covered for unemployment.
When
the school was closed a month ago, we had no idea that.
And again, the way unemployment works is it's by week. So you may not want to certify for those weeks as well, because you might have gotten, let's say, you know, because there's a little bit of a period here for unemployment where you're paid by your employer usually after you worked.
Okay.
And so you might have been paid for the 22nd through the 28th, which you received on April 4th.
Gotcha.
Well, that April 4th week, you may not want to apply because it's taking up one of your weeks to be using it going forward. So that's something you're going to have to look at. You're certifying by week of when you want it.
Okay. And my other question has to do with, just in general, this $1,200 bonus that we're, well, whatever we call it, that we're going to be getting, I think, maybe. Does that count? Will that count next year as income? Are we going to have to include it as our part of our income and pay it, pay taxes on it next year?
No. The answer to that is no. It is technically speaking a tax credit. So it's treated as if it was a payment on your tax return, like you were making an estimated payment or it was withholding on your wages.
Okay.
That's how it's treated. And so where that's important is, let's say you were walking the line on taxable nature of Social Security,
mm-hmm.
or you're bumping the line on something else, it does not add as taxable income.
Okay, good. I'm glad to hear that.
A quick question for John, I guess, here. John, this is, I guess, a theoretical here. If employee A grosses $600 a week, employee B is part-time and grosses $100 a week, are both eligible to file and both receive the $600 federal unemployment that's part of the CARES Act?
That is correct. Yes, they would both receive the $600 federal side. And then within, to go specifically within that example, employee A who made $600 a week in the state of Michigan would be capped at the 362. So they'd get the 362 state of Michigan side, the 600 federal for a combined of 962. And then as of right now, the part-time employee would then not qualify for the state of Michigan side and get the 600 federal. So that's as we see it today. So, but they would both get the 600 federal.
So there is, I think there's concern, I think, with some seasonal employers, once they do reopen, that there may not be as many foreign workers available for some of those properties that hired foreign workers for the summer. But now a lot of people collecting unemployment, maybe more than they normally make, through what, the end of June, I think, would
and
maybe...
One of the a common concern for many employers is an unintended consequence is that many employees are receiving a raise to go on unemployment. And so whether or not they're going to be able to come back. So that is an unintended benefit that is result of this. So It is what we're working through. Yes, correct.
All right. Thanks, John. So let's move on just to the first part of the SBA package for individual businesses, businesses with employees less than 500. The PPP program, discuss, if you would, what that means, what it is, and how it works.
Yep. So the PPP, I'm calling this the alphabet soup because there's so many acronyms that we're throwing out there that it's downright ridiculous on how many we inserted into the common day. I also say it's amazing to me how many business owners and employees, employers, and just everybody has now become aware of this. Again, we saw this came out a week and a half ago, but people are getting it and are seeing this. It's because there is so much information out there and people are seeing an inundated amount of information that's there. So part of the whole process here is just deciphering what makes the most sense for people as a business owner, just deciding between one of them, the program that most businesses, when I say most, some of the bigger ones, but many businesses are gonna go for is what's called the PPP or the Payroll Protection Program. This one is designed to, in a sense, take people off of the unemployment. Again, that unemployment was not unanticipated. It's to take them back off of unemployment and pay through. So one thing that we're talking to people about is for them to understand it's not for the benefit of the employer, it's for the benefit of the employee that may not have understood how to do unemployment or they can't get it because the unemployment system is backlogged. Again, understanding the intent of this program is important because they recognize that the Michigan unemployment or the Florida unemployment or the Minnesota unemployment is not going to be able to handle this volume of just immediate inflow of everyone that's going on unemployment. So they recognized and stepped back and said, how are we going to do this? And so they said, we're going to use the existing lending institutions, so banks, to get the flow of money to businesses to pull people back onto payroll even before they may otherwise not do that. So again, one question we get within this payroll protection program is, well, do you mean I'm gonna pay my employees while they're sitting at home? The answer is yes. That is the intent, is that you keep paying them even though they're sitting at home, because you are acting as the unemployment agency. So what is this payroll protection program? Well, what it is it's based on the historical payroll numbers. And I'm not going to dive down really deep into how you calculate it or what's all included, but essentially you look at your 12 months payroll, divide by 12, so you get your average monthly payroll, you times it by 2.5. So you're looking at 2.5 months of payroll, because they're looking at this period that they want to, this COVID period for 2 months. It's not a long-term stimulus. It's just meant to get dollars out there to pay people to do this. Who we're seeing this really apply to and really benefit for are employers that actually have employees still working. That's where the biggest benefit, the biggest bang for the business's dollar is if you have an existing workforce. So maybe you've been able to get them to work home, work from home remotely. That may make sense. Or if you have a larger workforce that is like a grocery store or a hospital or a not-for-profit that's been able to move home, that's where it really makes sense. High average wages is where this program makes sense, because when you look at the actual cost of what your average payroll, you're going to end up with a larger benefit than, if you will, some of these other programs that are out there. And then again, I look at also that who would benefit from the PPP program are those that are in still small, so below 500 employees, but are on the larger side of that. Those also are seeing it. So maybe 25 and above employees are definitely looking where it makes sense, because you're not going to want to just look at the specific, the other programs, if you will. So, but go ahead.
There's also a program for companies with seasonal employees too. Can you briefly discuss that?
Yeah, and before I get to that one, just to note that PPP program is through your bank, and so you have to talk with your banker on that. That's the one that they're aware of, and that's the one that most people out there are talking about. You have to go through your bank to that, so talk with them. And this is not a time to get a brand new banker. So you're going to want to find out and have a good relationship. This is the importance of having, as a business owner, to have your financial team in place. So call them up and talk with them. In fact, you should have already been contacted by them.
An anecdotal story I saw on social media, somebody posted that they received a letter from their bank that said, we're no longer accepting applications for this because we're inundated. We need to process the apps that we have before we take new ones. So there may be a crush out there, at least in that story.
I can't take credit for this. It was another banker that mentioned this, but they said, well, we've taken the curve and shifted it from the hospitals and moved it to the bankers and the accountants. Huh. And now we have to flatten the curve, people. We have to flatten the curve. Yes, the banks are dealing with this. Wells Fargo and Bank of America have shut down theirs already because they've hit caps that came through. So there is a sense of urgency on that PPP program. And I do think it makes sense for many employers to look at that. But now I also want to, for the benefit of those listening, to say that there are other programs that are out there that may make more sense. And in fact, as we look at our client base, from a dollar amount of payroll, the volume is going to the payroll protection. But from a quantity of applications and quantity of actual clients, there are other programs that are making more sense. And I'm going to admit, I'm making the statistic up here, but about 75 to 80% of our clients that we're working with are going for these other programs. And again, just know I'm giving that to give you an idea of percentage wise, but these other programs, what I'm affectionately referring to as it's a combination of other programs. And so I've alluded to the example I can give is rocks. So think of the PPP program as a big boulder. It's the biggest one out there. That's the one that people are going to go to. But now we have individual rocks, and those individual rocks or stones, when you look at one particular one, may not make sense. But when you start piling them up, that pile of individual rocks may end up being larger than the one big boulder. Now that other program, and I'm calling it programs 2 through 5, the first one here is what's called the EIDL, or the Economic Injury Disaster Loan, that is out there. That is an actual loan. So unlike the PPP, which is a forgivable loan, the EIDL is not forgivable. So that's where a lot of people kind of just shoved that aside and said, well, I don't want that. Well, as you look at it, it may make sense, because as a business, you may need that cash flow long-term. You don't necessarily want to have a long-term loan, but if that makes it through so you can get through this period and pay it off, that may make sense. But as part of that, it's important to understand that the SBA is trying to push through these programs that are out there, and they're trying so quickly to get these programs out there. But they've recognized that they're focusing on the PPP. They haven't designed the EIDL yet. That's a brand new program that they haven't designed. And so they said, well, if you just agree to stand in line, you could get up to $10,000 for that particular program, which is forgivable. So just to stand in line, you could get that. So that's one section. So when you add, you look at that one. Plus, what I'm calling the third program is this employer retention credit. Now, at first blush, that one may not seem like the greatest thing out there, because it's technically 50% of the first $10,000 of wages paid in a quarter that the business was economically impacted. That's a whole lot of words, and it sounds okay. Well, that ends up being, let's say, $5,000 per employee, and it doesn't sound that great, so people are going to the PPP. But when you start pushing the numbers, well, that may make sense. Where we're really seeing this hit are, think, summer seasonal employers. Well, we have a lot of those up here. So those would be the restaurants, the hospitality. Those would make sense for this particular program that have high dollars, because, again, the point of these stimulus dollars is to get the payroll out as quickly as possible. Well, if you're not currently employing people right now in the month of April, well, maybe you don't want to be able to be paying your payrolls during April, because it's not as big as what it will be in, say, June. So high summer is one. High turnover or businesses that you have, because it's on a per employee basis. Well, so if you're churning through employees, that may be one you want to look over. You have a business maybe that you have lower average wages. You may want to think about this, because the quantity is more important than the dollar amount. And so that's where you look at this employee retention credit.
All right. And John Sluice, we were just listening to CPA John Sluice, who actually read the entire CARES Act at least once, so is providing some pretty good knowledge there. So then we have a quick question from, I believe, Steve is on the phone from Manistee. Good morning, Steve.
Good morning. John, this is for you. I am a retiree. I have opted not to draw Social Security at this time. So for 2019, I've been paying Medicare directly for my medical coverage. On the Homestead Property Credit Form, are those payments directly to Medicare, are they deductible for that property tax credit?
On the property tax credit, those would, the payments would be, they would be deductible to the extent that you had business income. And so my guess is that they would not be deductible on that credit, or that, yeah, that particular one, because you don't have business income to offset it. If you had a side business income and were otherwise offsetting that business income with a business deduction or of the healthcare costs, then it would be deductible.
Okay, follow-up question. On that same credit, on my automobile insurance, I insure two automobiles. Would the medical portion of that be deductible? Same question. Would I have to have a business, or could I deduct that as an individual?
You would be able to, at the individual, you would be able to deduct it on Schedule A, subject to the limitations. And then if you had it as, if you had business income, then you'd be able to deduct it on the base of the tax return.
So for individual, it would be Schedule A. Okay, thank you very much.
So, John, if you would, just do a synopsis of the package for business. And
yeah, how I wanted to kind of wrap up here is there's a lot of information out there. And here we find ourselves compressed, and we could probably go another 3 hours on talking. That information is out there. So go and look at your specific cases. You can find information on our website, entrustcpa.us. It's out there. There's other information out there. Give us a call, 231-935-1590, or talk to your accountant. The summary that I have is there are programs that apply to 100% of businesses. So don't hear that you won't qualify. I'm too small, I'm too big, I'm too whatever it is. It does apply to you. Not all of them have to be immediate. Some of them are now, some of them are later. So talk to your accountant, look out there, that's there. So you've got the PPP program, which is going to be more of an emergency, bam, and stimulus, versus these other ones that are out there, the EIDL, the ERC. I've got those acronyms out there. Find that information on the websites, on ours or anyone else's, and just look through and compare those, because what your neighbor is telling you they did may not make sense for you. It may, but it may not make sense for you. So look at your specific circumstance and know that there is a stimulus package that fits for your particular instance, and decide what makes the most sense for what you're looking for. Is it to do a stopgap immediate because you ran out of cash flow yesterday, or is it something that's more long-term that's going to apply down the road? So ask yourself what's going to apply for my business and then look at those particular credits that are out there.
I also want to add that you're doing webinars that people can join. So those are on Tuesdays, correct?
Tuesdays at 1 o'clock is we're having a regular weekly webinar to talk about the information that changes in that particular week. And they are historical, so they're on the website right now. They are there to watch and to go through. I dive into even deeper than what I started talking to here, as well as information that you can download. So,
and what is your website again, John, if you would?
www.intrustcpa.us. So intrustcpa.us.
All right, John Sluice, thanks for being a special guest. As always, Dennis Prout, Heidi Thompson, Shea Pataja from Prout Financial Design.
Thanks so much for listening. You can find us online at proutfinancialdesign.com. That's P-R-O-U-T, financialdesign.com. Also, you'll be able to find us on iTunes and SoundCloud.